This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for giving us your time and your ear for just a short while. We pray that this teaching and this time around the things of heaven will be of great help, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God will be able to use this to minister to your need this day. And now let's get right to the message for today in the Invisible War.
I want to begin with a story out of a book called The Twilight Labyrinth by George Otis Jr. George Otis is the founder and president of the Sentinel Group and senior associate with the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelization. He, in his book, raises the question, why does spiritual darkness linger where it does? He says, given the amount of enemy flak in the air these days, it is astonishing to find so many Christians go without spiritual armor. When it comes to risky behavior, one can offer better odds to 3-pack-a-day smokers, promiscuous fornicators, or drivers who shun seatbelts. The most common reason seems to be simple carelessness. People just don't think about putting on their spiritual armor. While the subject may have been fun in Sunday school, where it was presented in coloring papers and on flannel graph boards, the task of relating helmets, shields, and breastplates to the modern world has caused many adults, at least in practical terms, to abandon Paul's ancient metaphor. Like a football player who shuns pads or the police officer who refuses a bulletproof vest, these individuals see themselves as indestructible warriors. The otherworldly nature of this battle is of little concern. As king kids, they believe they automatically command all the power and protection heaven has to offer. In any case, the devil smirks at their macho spirit. Sometimes it is a narrow theological worldview that relegates our spiritual armor to the closet. When Dr. Linda Williams signed on for a short-term missionary work with World Medical Missions in 1984, she was assigned to the Evangelical Alliance Mission Hospital in Taitung, Taiwan. Several days before a scheduled return flight to the United States, Williams and a colleague attended an idol parade associated with the local Lantern Festival. The idol bearers wore exotic face paint and carried feathered fans. Celebrants, drunk and empowered by evil, swarmed the streets exploding firecrackers. Suddenly, Williams recalls, one of the temple leaders stepped from the parade line, waved his feathered fan in front of me, and chanted angrily. Confused, she turned to her colleague for an explanation. His eyes were popping. "He pronounced a curse on you," he stammered. "He asked the devils to demonstrate their power to you within 48 hours. 2 days later, having dismissed this bizarre event from her mind, Dr. Williams headed off to a farewell beach trip with several friends, including a dear missionary couple, Art and Leona Dickinson. As their vehicle approached a curve, the dog darted only out on the road, causing their Chinese-American driver to swerve instinctively. The vehicle careened into 2 large trees and flipped. Coming to their senses, Dr. Williams found herself covered in broken glass. A warm, oily substance was dripping onto the back of her neck. Suddenly, she recalls, I could hear Art calling, Linda, Leona's dying. It was then I realized the warm substance on the back of my neck was actually Leona's blood. For the next several days, Leona's life hung in the balance. She was comatose and fighting for every breath as surgeons worked to repair her lacerated organs and broken bones. When one of her pupils dilated suddenly, it became apparent that her brain stem was herniating. The head surgeon, unable to transport Leona to the neurosurgical care in Taipei, assembled the missionaries to announce that she was probably going to die that night. Even in the face of this pessimistic report, Dr. Williams recalls, the non-medical missionaries, teachers, and pastors remained appallingly hopeful. They seemed to have identified before I did that the accident was the result of the curse placed on me. But they also believed 1 John 4:4 and claimed it for Leona. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Despite sustaining a C4 vertebral fracture, a condition that should have resulted in quadriplegia, Leona recovered fully, says Dr. Williams. Today, I no longer dismiss the reality of spiritual warfare. I quit trying to fit demonic power into a philosophically neat compartment that will not disturb my Christian comfort zone or scientific rationale. This testimony reminds us, spiritual armor is no optional accessory. Those who dismiss it do so at their peril. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, which is in Christ Jesus and in the church to all generations. Lord, I ask that you would put us all right now in the circle of your blood. I pray that any hindering spirit of any kind, any blocking spirit of any kind, any diverting spirit, any lying spirit of any kind would be removed from this study, from our hearts, from this room. I ask that you would gather all of them up in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You will go where Jesus tells you to go, when Jesus tells you to go. Lord, you are the guide into all truth, and without you, we will not know and understand the truth that sets men free. So we ask you to come and guide us and help us and lead us and teach us. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Turn with me in Ephesians 6, a familiar passage. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. We talked about the armor of God. The first thing I want you to see, that God has provided every necessary equipment for the believer to be victorious in the invisible war. Using the imagery of the armor of the Roman soldier preparing for battle, the Holy Spirit gives a precise insight, listen carefully, to the areas of our vulnerability. To me, the armor lets us know where we are vulnerable in the war. Don't get so lost in the imagery of the armor that you miss the metaphor or the picture of where we are most vulnerable in this spiritual warfare. In chapter 3, as we've already studied, the Christian, though saved, is the target of Satan's schemes. And I want to remind you that the armor has been given to the believer, that this particular armor is the believer's armor to be able to withstand. Now, there are two things here I want you to see. Number one, there is an evil day. You have them, I have them, where everything is bad. No matter how hard you work, no matter how much you pray, it's just a bad day, all right? There are evil days, and there's an oppression. There is a visitation, if you please, of evil in our families, in our homes, in our lives, at the workplace. There are times that are just yuck, you know, just evil, just a tough, tough time. You're going to have them, and I'm going to have them, and it is at this point the armor becomes so very essential, all right? The devil cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 38 and 39. But he can so wound us in battle to render the believer powerless in his life and witness for Christ. Charles Spurgeon said it well. Like the Spartans, every Christian is born a warrior. It is his destiny to be assaulted. It is his duty to attack. Part of his life will be occupied with defensive armor. Defensive warfare, he will have to defend earnestly the faith once delivered to the saints. He will have to resist the devil. He will have to stand against the wiles. And having done all still to stand, he will, however, be but a sorry Christian if he acts only in the defensive. I want to say that again. A believer who is always hunkered down only in the defensive means very, very little in the kingdom, makes much difference in the kingdom of God. You're loved, you're saved, but you're not going to get much done as bringing heaven down on earth as the Lord told us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The believer must be one who goes against his foes as well as stand still to receive their advance. He must be able to say with David, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He must wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. He must have the weapons for his warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He must go forth to attack the castles of the enemy and to pull them down, to drive the Canaanite out of the land. There comes a time, believers, that God says, I want you to go tear that fortress down. Now, I'm going to do it in you, but I want you to get at it. It is your faith. It is your understanding of the Word of God. It is your mouth. It is your brain. It is your body that I dwell in. And I'm going to work in, so I want you to go out here and tear this down, all right? When God saves, he delivers man from the domain of darkness. But as long as you and I are in a mortal body, we remain in enemy territory. Before we study each piece of the armor, there are some general realities that must be understood concerning the armor provided to the child of God by our Heavenly Father while in this intense spiritual warfare. They are the necessity of the armor. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There is a clear order from our Lord for the Christian. You gotta put it on. You got to put it on. It's available to you in Christ, but you got to put it on. The believer is responsible for preparing for battle with the enemy. There is no substitute for the armor of God. It is impossible to outwit the devil. It is impossible to out-strategize him. My dad used to say, you can't get up early enough to outthink a thief. Now you think of that. Well, we're talking about the thief. We're talking about the murderer. We're talking about the arch-deceiver. And no matter how much education, no matter how many times you come to a conference on spiritual warfare, you will never be able to get your full mentality around the schemes of the enemy. So the armor is essential. It is absolutely necessary. In the words of Martin Luther's hymn, speaking of the devil, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. The armor is necessary. Why? You can't survive without it. You will fall without it. You will not be able to stand without it. The armor is necessary, all right? Now, I get this question a lot. Well, does that mean every morning we put our armor on and you think of each piece and you go through that? That's kind of the way we learned in high school and, you know, in Bible school, take each piece. Folks, let me tell you what I believe. Don't ever take it off, not even at night. You keep your armor on and don't ever take it off. Now, don't get bogged down in terms of the metaphor of the armor, of the pieces. That just lets us know where we're vulnerable, all right? Your armor, as we shall see, the other thing I want you to see, don't ever take it off, is the totality of the armor. Put the whole armor on. Don't leave one piece off, okay? Because it is there you will be attacked, and just like a little leak will sink a ship. And the absence of one piece of the armor of God can cost a man his life and witness. No good soldier would ever go into battle without all of his armor. Each piece is essential. If these instructions are not obeyed, tragic defeat will be the result. Now, this is where I want you to spend and focus on. Jesus is the armor. I want to say that again. Not only does Jesus provide the armor, He is the armor. Jesus is truth. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is peace. It is your union with Christ that your armor resides. So anything that blocks your fellowship with Him, any area of your life, and again, we'll see where these areas of vulnerability as we study each piece, but the armor is Jesus. So putting on your armor is just recognizing and submitting to the Lordship of Christ in your life. And so every time you wake up in the morning, Lord, I'm yours. My brain, my body, my life, my job, my money, my breath, I belong to you. You're putting on your armor. I report for duty. Where do you want me to go? What you want me to say? Tell me when I'm supposed to shut up and I'll shut up. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours, all right? The personality, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God. Now, I want you to see the victory in the armor. The victory in spiritual battle is finished. It is certain. It is finished. The Bible declares, but in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Romans 8:37. But thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. When I was a student, I had a colleague who was being harassed by demons. If you knew his life, you would understand it. He was a preacher of the gospel, but he was mad at God because he was a diabetic. He believed that God had put a curse on him. So he preached. He would go preach in these little churches in Central Texas, and then he'd curse God as he would leave, smoking his cigars, drinking his whiskey, and running with women. So he called me one night. He says, I'm being visited by demons. Didn't surprise me any. And he was petrified. He was literally scared to death. So we got a bunch of guys together. I usually don't like to go by myself. Amen. And I was a much younger kid. And so we got a bunch of guys together. And we knew that when we walked in that apartment door, I suspected we'd see the old boy himself, the devil himself. I was ready for it, all right? We prayed. We put on our armor, okay? Now, I didn't know diddly squat about all this at that time. I just knew Jesus was Lord, and He was my Lord, and we could trust Him. And so I had Colossians, okay? I had the verse in Colossians 2, 13 through 15. If there's any verse that you mark in your Bible, you mark this one and keep it handy. Because you will and are, from time to time, being visited by the demonic. You don't want anybody to know it, but you have been visited, and you want to know how to deal with that. Well, let me just tell you, Colossians 2, 13 through 15 tells about what Jesus did at Calvary, how He disarmed the rulers and authorities, made a public display of them, having conquering them through Him. It talks about Calvary. It talks about the power and how the enemy now has been defeated at Calvary. And so I had it ready. Man, we were knocking on that door. We were walking into that apartment. And we walked in with that book open. And that was my sword I was going to use that night. Anybody's going to mess with me, I was going to just rip into Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And sure enough, when we walked in, he was just shaking. And he said, "They're outside laughing at me. They don't want to deal with you. But as soon as you leave, they'll be back." I said, "That's right. Because of your own disobedience." What I'm saying to you is victory is certain. My dear brother and sister in Christ, the victory is certain. Satan is defeated through the blood of Calvary. In our union with Christ, we now share in His eternal victory over the powers of darkness. The outcome of the battle in your life may be in question because of sin and disobedience. But the outcome of the war is certain. Satan is defeated. Demons have been disarmed and defeated. And they know it. They just don't want you to know it. They want to bluff. They want to scare you. They want to frighten you away. They want to be able to hide. They are creatures of the night, but they know they are defeated. All right? The Bible says very clearly in Matthew 25:41, "Into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." And Jude speaks of the chains that are reserved for the angels that left their first estate. It is forever settled in heaven, and they know it. Okay? They know it. The great tragedy of the invisible war. Are you ready? There is no more reason for anyone to be defeated and destroyed. Jesus died for the whole world. It is His will that none perish, but that all might come to faith and repentance. The tragedy of the invisible war is the fact that there's no reason for any more tragedies. But there is. Remember, we do not fight toward victory, we fight from victory.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on the invisible war. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic, hear today's broadcast again, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. You know, it is by your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you each week by radio. Thank you for joining with us in prayer as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. And thank you for your financial support for the invisible war. Please give as generous a gift as you can, and we look forward to hearing from you. Call us, 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 877-808-8886. Or go online to theinvisiblewar.org. Once again, that number, 877-808-8886. Now some closing words from Dr. Randall.
Let's join together as we ask the Lord to do His mighty work among us. Lord, we thank You today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You. You have been faithful to all generations, and we today have found You faithful. Lord, let us be reminded, help us know that when You died on Calvary, no one else needs to shed their blood for sin. Your blood is enough for all sin, for all time. So Lord, I just simply ask You today, in the mighty, precious, magnificent name of the Lord Jesus, draw us to Thee. That which You purpose in Your heart in heaven, I pray that You would do the greatest work in our lives this day for Your greatest glory. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us know how we can help you. Please go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Also, call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. May God richly bless you in the journey, and thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.